الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. وبعد، my dear brothers, Allah سبحانه وتعالى جل جلاله sent his Nabi Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and called that sending a ni'mat on the ummah. He called the coming of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam his blessing on this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the mu'mineen by sending amongst them, from amongst themselves, His Nabi to do four things, four steps and four things. To recite His kalam, to purify them, to receive the teaching, to explain the kalam, and to demonstrate how it is to be practiced. These four things together are the message and the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not only to read the Quran, it is not only to recite the Quran, it is not only to teach the Quran as in a madrasa or a Darul Uloom or some lecture like this. It is not only these things. It's all these four things, and these four things are related to each other. Another way that I usually have of expressing this, I say four things are inform, prepare, teach, demonstrate. So these are the four things. The example, the easiest example to give is, Allah said, Aqimus Salah. So inform. The ayat has been recited. Allah has said this, Aqimus Salah. Then, next stage, preparation. So what must you do? Go make wudu. Clean your clothes, clean the place. If you need ghusl, go make ghusl. So, preparing to do this. Third one, Allah said, establish Salah. What is Salah? How must I establish? What must I do? So teaching that, what is Salah? External part of it, internal part of it. And then, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Actual demonstration of the Salah. Pray as you see me pray. And the same thing applies to everything else. The reason I am saying this is, to reinforce in your mind and my mind, the importance of following the Sunnah. The sunnah is not just, this is a big mistaken impression in the minds of a lot of Muslims, that the sunnah is something that has been left to our discretion. If you follow it, it's nice. If you don't follow it, it's okay. But that is not how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended, and that's not, it's a completely false impression. To follow the sunnah is fard. The sunnah itself is not fard, or at least some parts of it is not fard. But to follow it is fard. Why? Just think about it. Think about it in another way. Those of you who have done any kind of martial arts, if you go to a karate dojo or, you know, whatever, I used to do Aikido at one point. Even though you can do that martial art in a track suit, it's perfectly possible. You can do that in a bodysuit, it's perfectly possible. You can do that in a pair of shorts, it's perfectly possible. But they will not let you even into the enter the dojo unless you are wearing the clothes for that particular martial art. Those are not your clothes, you are not Japanese, you are Indian or American or whatever. You never wear those clothes anywhere other than that dojo. If you had to walk on the street with those clothes, you would probably feel embarrassed. But when you enter that dojo for that martial art, there is no way that they are going to let you do anything unless you are in that dress. Then, when you are standing facing the opponent, what is the first thing you do? You bow. Why must you bow? You can say, I don't bow before anybody else. Yeah, all that is fine. Here, if you don't bow, you can get out. Simple as that. That bowing, and think about it, that bowing has nothing to do actually with the martial art itself. It has nothing to do with any of the holds, nothing to do with any of the throws, nothing to do with the, fighting with the boken or the sword or nothing. I mean, it is completely something which has nothing to do with the martial art itself, but the whole bout and the whole session begins with the bow. Why? What is so important about this? In any ideology, in any system, to take on the identity of that system is a part of that system. If you take on the identity, then you are making a statement to say, I am part of this system. I am one of these people. If you don't take that identity, then you are somebody standing outside. Now, in Islam, how did we enter Islam? We entered Islam by reciting two kalimas. What are the two kalimas? La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. So, La ilaha illallah, we know. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Somebody says, La ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And then time for salah comes. He does not pray. Then what do you say? Has he entered Islam? Has he not entered Islam? Has he entered Islam and left? Because you are saying there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. But when the time to worship Allah comes, I don't pray. So now what are you doing? So you say something with your tongue and with your action you deny it. Now how do you think we should approach therefore Muhammadur Rasulullah? Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Is this a piece of information? It's like saying who is the Prime Minister of India? So and so. Who is the President of America? So and so. Who is the messenger of Allah? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. It has no other meaning. It has no importance. Information. Somebody asked, who is it? So and so. Is that what it is? For the Muslim, when the Muslim says Muhammadur Rasulullah, is he giving people a piece of information? So what does it mean? I am following him. Muhammadur Rasulullah means that I am one of his people. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah and I am a follower of him. I have accepted him as a messenger of Allah. And since I said I worship only Allah in the La ilaha illallah which came before this, therefore it means that I worship Allah how? According to the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So La ilaha illallah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kalima itself is our statement, our covenant, our promise that we will follow the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can you say Muhammad Rasulullah and follow the sunnah of somebody else? Doesn't make sense, no? Then why did you say Muhammad Rasulullah? If you want to follow the sunnah of XYZ, then why do you say Muhammad Rasulullah? So following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrates our identity as in terms of our relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tell me, is it important to be related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes or no? Do you think we should have this nisbat? Is it worth having? Then how is this nisbat going to happen? How is this nisbat, how is this relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to happen if you and I do not follow his sunnah? What is the other way? And as I gave you the example, the same logic we apply everywhere else. If you work for an organization, if that organization has a uniform, you wear the uniform. No matter how ridiculous it might be. We have in this state, in Telangana state, we have got the TRS government. whose color is one bilious pink, but if you are part of TRS, you wear it, no matter how horrible it looks. If you work in a company, it may not be a uniform, but there is an informal uniform. For example, if you are in IBM, it's a light colored shirt, dark colored trouser, tie. If you are in Microsoft, they tell you on the first day, tomorrow don't come with a tie. If you come with a tie, they cut the tie in half. How does it matter? I'm a software programmer. My job is to write code. Whether I wear a tie or a hat or not, how does it matter? But it matters. If you are working in Microsoft, you follow Microsoft norms. You follow Microsoft culture. So what about Islamic culture? What binds us together? The commonality that crosses all other boundaries of race, of color, of country, of language is our Islamic identity. That is what joins the Arab to the non-Arab, that is what joins the black man to the white man, that is what joins the Indian to the Sudani and so on and so forth. It's not anything, it's that. That is, you are my brother, how, why? Because we are Muslim. Meaning what? Meaning because we follow the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is why I want to remind myself and you, following the Sunnah is absolutely critical with regard to the practice and the practice of Islam and being a Muslim. And I gave you the example of Salah, because when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, pray as you see me pray, it does not apply only to Salah. Pray as you see me pray, eat as you see me eat, dress as you see me dress, work as you see me work, talk as you see me talk, deal with people as you see me deal with people. Run a state, if you get to that position where you are now head of state, run the state like you see me running my state. The way of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not restricted to rituals of worship alone. No, it extends to every aspect of life. Treat your wife like you see me treat my wife. Treat your children like you see me treat my children. Everything, across the board. Only then can you get success. That is the key. The key is, if you say, well, you know, why is it important? No, you can't. If the whole thing comes as one package. The whole thing comes as one package. And you will get the result only if you operate in that entire package. Not if you take it piecemeal. You pick from here, you pick from there, what you like you do, what you don't like you leave. You will not get the result. And what is the result? The result is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result is the happiness and pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The result is the acceptance of du'as. The result is that the world will be made subservient to you. Allah said, سَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. For who? For the people who follow the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the Muslims. In a general sense for human beings, but in a specific sense for the Muslims. But that will happen only and only if we put ourselves into that. So quite apart from the fact that the Sunnah is in itself beautiful and attractive, I am saying even if it wasn't, you would still have to do it if you wanted the benefit from it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore to open our eyes and hearts to this reality that we have a religion which is complete. So it makes no sense to take something complete and then use only a piece of it. Makes no sense. If it is complete, use the whole thing. We have a religion which is complete in terms of its theology and in terms of its practice. And therefore it is very important for us. The theology of Islam is the Quran. The practice of Islam is the Sunnah. How is this theology to be practiced? The way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts and minds to this and to enable us to live this religion the way we should live it. and to then therefore to grant us the success that comes with it, inshallah, and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.